Well, hello everybody and welcome back. It is Around the Table live from the City of Gastronomy, the Tucson Foodie Edition number 4 with the one and only Jennifer Teufel and a team of Tucson's most extraordinary foodies. Each day that we take to the airwaves and have this power lunch together, we bring the most interesting newsmakers, tastemakers, style makers, friends, foodies, movers, and shakers. We save the seat at the head of the table for you, our guest of honor. And Jen, honestly, when I say that, I kind of think of you, because you're kind of with me every show, even when you're not with me. Because this whole, like, having another Jen thing, you know, we're both brunettes, we're both moms, we're both passionate foodies.
It's got true, a lot. Our boys are the same age. Oh, no, yours is 10.
We're just the same
14.
Size.
Same size, that's true. You got a tall boy. So I am so excited. I got to tell you, two of my favorite people are in the house, at the table, tasting my mocktail. We've got Isabella Yofroy.
Did you make this?
Sort of. It's from Maynard's, from their garden, some beautiful lavender from their garden, some beautiful blueberries, and a delicious lemon juice. It's very simple, not sweet.
It's delicious.
An agua fresca, and it's delicious. So I got to tell you who's at the table with us, folks. The lovely, the talented,
elusive.
The brilliant, the foodie. Only elusive to those she wants to elude.
Ooh.
Oh, burn.
Dang, I know.
OG burn.
Yeah, it's an OG burn.
All right. The lovely Isabella Yofroy.
Are you okay? Isabella Yofroy from Yelp is here with us. I'm going to have you lean right in there. We've been trying to get... You are one of the busiest women in town, and as somebody that we really respect, you do a lot of incredible work in town. You give a vitality to the experience of people going out in this town.
It and completes, community.
Well, you know what
I
it is?
That's what she does. She's all about the community.
She is. And she helps complete the circle. We have farmers, we have chefs, we have restaurateurs. We have people that set it up. They make great food, they bring their menus to you and me, we talk about it. We make people understand what's possible, what's out there. People go out to eat, they have their experience, and then they go to her. And her community of people complete the circle.
So I want to talk about who Isabella brought with her today too, which is the lovely Lauren Valenzuela of Sigvas Designs.
Hello.
Hello. I got to say, Lauren doesn't know this, but I've known Lauren since she was a youngin. She won't remember me, but I used to go up to Hacienda del Sol. Nancy Fink is one of my besties. Yeah. Shout out to Nancy.
Love you.
Love you, Rick. Love you, Rick. Always in my heart.
Always.
And one of the loveliest early meals I had, I think in 1997, 1998. Lauren wasn't there yet, by the way.
Nope.
She's about 12. But was up with my close friend, Curtis Gunn, and my ex-husband, Mike Word. He's my boy's father, and I love him dearly. We went to Hacienda del Sol and met the Finks very early on, and they were one of the people that are OG Tucson food, bringing good food, and they were devoted to great food. And they made one of the United States' best chefs right now, Kevin Fink, out of Austin now. So I got to say, Lauren, welcome. I'm interested in talking to you about food and interested in hearing from you and Isabella about what you think about Tucson on the global space now.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having us.
And I have to say, Lauren's been on the show probably 3 times now. We're huge fans of hers. And one of the things I want to make sure we do is say that for all of us, for every one of us, there's a voice of someone who's experiencing Tucson who is sharing very generously what their experience is. And that's part of what makes us a sort of focus for international attention, because the followers of what's going on in Tucson aren't just other Tucsonans. Who's following Yelp and who's following Lauren and the things that she does and who's reading Tucson Foodie, they're reading from all over the world. The world is paying attention to what's happening here.
And we're lucky to have Yelp Tucson here through Isabella, who they really provide a platform for folks to talk about food. So Isabella, tell us what's going on from your point of view as we see the snowball effect of a lot of international and national attention here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a beautiful thing for our city. I think, you know, all of us in this room are champions for Tucson, and we are out there constantly finding a small business to support, and we share it and we talk about it. And that's the beauty of Yelp. I think, you know, it's this huge global brand, but what we do is connect locals to great local businesses. So it's not just about, you know, me as their community manager. We have a community of locals in Tucson that turn to Yelp to discover local business or to share their experience of something they just found, and with so much enthusiasm. So that's just what I love about Yelp. But in Tucson, as we continue to grow and get more attention, I think it comes from a place of just supporting the people that really care about what they do. And we have so many.
And you're somebody, I mean, you're from here. You're local. You've known Tucson your whole life. How have you seen, is the Tucson you see today and see written about today, is it the same Tucson? Is this your Tucson or is this a new Tucson?
I would say, well, I'm actually from Nogales. I was born at TMC, but I grew up on the border and actually spent a lot of my time in Tucson doing different things with my family. But I didn't really live here full time until about 2008. And it's changed so much. I mean, it's just grown and grown. But I think the people that have always been pushing for Tucson, they're still here. And really now is this beautiful time where they're getting this, their voices are being heard even more. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like there's a bunch of new things happening. It's what we've already been doing. It's finally getting that national attention. So I love that.
Is the Yelp community globally paying attention to what's happening in Tucson? And is there something distinctive about how Tucson's Yelp community communicates and shares its experience that has gleaned and garnered the attention of the global sort of Yelp community?
That's a great question. And yeah, I mean, Yelp, you know, in its origins has always been a consumer-driven and community-driven site. And so Yelpers from all over the world, you know, if let's say there's someone coming from Canada, they will turn to our site and either message each other or use our talk forums to ask each other questions about where to go, what the recommendations are. And we have these communities of Yelp Elite that are our top contributors that really contribute the most trusted content. And so they share that with each other. And that's really one way that Yelp is putting Tucson, you know, on the map, so to speak. And also just, you know, through our national blog, we write a lot of articles from different cities all over the country. So,
and I love that the doorbell just rang and you never know who's going to stop by. We've got a couple of friends. Ryan just got here from the AC, that wonderful Spanish influence in downtown that is giving us one of the great cocktail bars that has burst onto the scene, literally, right under his tutelage. And then we have just a beautiful wine that just got poured for us that was part of the wine tasting last night at Revel, because there's a free complimentary wine tasting every Wednesday night at Revel. And one of the highlights of the wine, because we didn't have this planned, but when I tasted this, I said, this is what we have to bring, because this is the Frog's Leap Rosé.
And it smells so
beautiful. I love
beautiful.
Frog's Leap, right? And they have such a great story.
Right, and they have such a great story. And one of the things, what's so cool about it is it's a Napa Valley wine that has a very Tucson kind. If Tucson had like a sister vineyard in Napa, I'd say Frog's Leap would at least be in the running to be that sister vineyard.
Oh, without a doubt. In the way that they do things since the late 80s, going organic and farming and sustainability, I think it really speaks to Tucson.
And it's a little bit laid back. The people are kind of cool. I mean, the whole thing about it. And then this one is, we'll just talk a little bit before we run out of time in this first segment here.
So this is their current vintage of their rosé. They wanted to do an old vine rosé, so they're using Carnegie and the Napa Gamay in this, and it's an intentional rosé, so they made this intentionally instead of bleeding off like a lot of people do with Pinots and bleed off some of that. So,
and it's super delicious.
It's super delicious. Light fruit, red fruit, little watermelon, little floral characteristics.
And what I thought was really good about this is a Tucson Pops concert Sunday picnic wine to take to the Tucson Pops at Reed Park every Sunday night.
Brilliant.
So this is what's going to be in my picnic basket to share with my friends this weekend. If I got to go buy one, where am I going to go find it?
Right now, Revel's the only place in town that's carrying it. So head down and talk to the guys at Revel.
I love that.
Lauren, have you tasted it?
Yeah, it's delicious.
It's delicious.
Got to talk into the mic.
And I'm holding the mic. But one of the things I have to say is you've got to remember that Lauren comes from the tradition of the Wine Spectator And it was first it was like the best of award of excellence, and they just kept growing and growing and growing the wine program at the Hacienda del Sol. So you came up in a wine program that was really one of the best in the country. It just happened to be here in Tucson.
Yeah, I definitely, I was much more involved with Zona 78 and both of those, the central and the east side location, but they definitely gave us a huge focus on just wine and tasting and education and making it and done in a way that's very not pretentious and very accessible, that anybody can taste wine and anybody has the palate for it if you just practice. So I really loved that about it.
Well, we're going to take a very quick break because we've got so much we're doing today. Felipe Garcia is coming to join us. Bamaso Tucson is here. Ryan from the AC is here. We've got Jennifer Teufel. We've got Isabel Joffrey. We've got Yelp in the house. We've got foodies, friends, and more, because each and every day when we join together for this power lunch that we call Around the Table, where we are joined by the most interesting and influential newsmakers, tastemakers, playmakers, style makers, movers and shakers, and foodies and friends, we do so right here live from the City of Gastronomy. Please don't touch that dial. We'll be back with more right after this.
Welcome back to KVOI with Jennifer English and Jennifer Teufel from Tucson Foodie Around the Table. Folks, we are here with Isabella Joffroy and the lovely Lauren Valenzuela with Sigfris. Say it for me.
Sigfris Jewelry.
Sigfris Jewelry. SigfrisDesign.com, I believe. Anyway, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to these two women is they're very plugged in where Tucson has been coming from for the last decade, and where they are going, and how where we are going and what we're hearing nationally has been influenced by these years of work. So, Lauren, talk about during your time with the folks from Zona and from Hacienda del Sol and how you think they've really influenced what's happening now.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's always been really important for me and that I've learned is talking about sustainability and zero waste. And that's something that I've seen in the restaurants working at Zona 78 and Hacienda, that was really a big push. And I'm loving seeing that now. I feel like it's not something new. It's something that we've been really pushing and you know, pouring into for a while. And I think we're starting to see the fruit of that in Tucson, of no waste, you know, using the whole pig or using the whole product and just contributing to that a lot more.
And also farming, their in-house gardens.
I was just going to mention that. I mean, they're like the original.
Here in Tucson, the original Tucson restaurant that was growing their own gardens. And they continue that to today. They really have influenced local restaurateurs. And we really have to thank the folks, Rick Fink, who unfortunately has left us, for some of that.
Yeah, definitely.
I think one of the things that was really exciting to me was hearing about that Yelp did an article, a national article, around one of our great James Beard nominees, Don Guerra. And I wanted you to sort of tell our listeners about that.
Sure, yeah. So Yelp nationally has a blog, and we pull data on all different types of categories. And we did a data poll on top bakeries in the country, and Barrio Bread was number 7. And it's really exciting to see not just someone
in the entire United States. Wow.
And it's really exciting because, I mean, I love Phoenix, but oftentimes we don't get to see Tucson make some lists because Phoenix is such a big metro. So Don is just doing beautiful things for the community, and really he's an incredible representation of what heritage ingredients are and what it means to use them, and the way he's educating people. I think that's really key for our city as it continues to get this national attention. For me, it's like I want people from Tucson, first and foremost, but also people visiting here to learn what that means, right? What are heritage ingredients? Why do they matter?
Well, one of the things the James Beard Foundation does is it identifies people who are doing exceptional work who become national standard bearers in their categories, in their communities. And so one of the things that Don has done that people are just really waking up to, it's not just that you can go down and if there's anything left, you will get a loaf of the best bread you've ever had in many different iterations. He has bread with beautiful sesame seeds that you guiltily and greedily, maybe I'm talking about myself, eat almost the whole loaf when you encounter one. His baguette cracks and crackles with crunchiness on the outside and softness on the inside. He uses local grains that he has basically rescued from obscurity. But the most important thing I would argue that he does is he's established something called community-supported baking that, like community-supported agriculture, has a presence all around the country. He doesn't want people to cook Tucson food, Tucson bread, baked Tucson bread. He wants people around the country to create their own CSB, community supported bakery. He wants people all over the country to find what grains will go and grow brilliantly wherever you are and grow that community around that enterprise from the grains to the baked goods in your own space. That's why he's such an influencer too. Yes, the bread is sensational. Yes, it's the best you might ever have, but there's so much more.
That's terrific. And one of the things that you were talking about is his real investment in the growth of Sonoran wheat and why that's important, again, is what Giannis was talking about, is sustainability. We're losing water, folks, and we have to have stuff that can survive without it. And I just love that he's being really celebrated for that. So one of the exciting things that we've just had is Ryan from AC Marriott Downtown Tucson Hotel is here with us. He's created an amazing cocktail.
Well, he joins these young women in this generation of hospitality, of restaurateurs, mixologists, hosts, and bartenders. They are the cutting edge. They're on the true leading edge of hospitality and conviviality in this community. And I wish I had that sort of wonderful Castilian accent with which to say the IFE
Hotel.
Well,
you
don't. I don't.
So
I'm not even going to try.
Microphone.
Thank you. Yeah, going back to what you guys were saying earlier about sustainability, it's not just about the kitchen. It's also about the bar, especially in like ones that come to mind are Oban and Elvira's cocktail bars that are located inside of restaurants, reusing ingredients that the kitchen, using their byproducts, their waste, and finding other ways that you can use them. Everything, especially in a kitchen, a bar environment, everything has a byproduct, and it's about finding a second use for those byproducts, whether it's boiling your citrus and getting an extra, boiling your spent citrus peels and getting extra citrus out of that and combining it back into the citrus to make almost a stock, or reusing pits, like we crush and toast avocado pits to make our own orgeat at the hotel.
What is that? What is orgeat?
Orgeat is like an almond syrup. So it turns out that when you toast avocado pits after you crush them, they take on a flavor and aroma similar to almond, and you can actually reuse those to make a syrup out of it. That's very similar to almond, little different, a little more herbal. But still, it's getting a second use out of something that people just normally discard.
And that kind of upcycling is exciting because things like an orgeat or an orgeat are used in drinks that we belovedly look to in the summer months, like Mai Tais. I mean, these are the flavors that are the signature flavors that distinguish a Mai Tai distinctively. But the thing I really wanted to talk about with Ryan today, coming here, is he's somebody who actually forages for ingredients as well. And he just went out foraging with some friends. And what that does, well, I'll let him tell what he did, but what that does is it says, this is really the place that tastes like this place. And there are people all over the world looking to that example of how we live it. We live this message. We talk the talk and we walk the walk.
Me and a couple of friends went foraging on Saturday for desert willow blossoms, which have their own nectar, which is inherently sweet. So you can just leave them out and let the natural yeast take over and ferment it. So we're actually making a...
Where are you foraging?
We went to the Rideau River Park Trail. So right around there, there's so many desert willow blossoms. They're beautiful, like white with a little bit of purple. The little button yellow flowers that you find on creosote, you can actually ferment those. You can crush those and basically make an amaro out of them.
Do you use them in your drinks, your cocktails?
That's on its way.
Okay.
No, but you know, one of the best margaritas you're going to have in this town isn't actually called a margarita at all. It's one of the signature drinks at his bar. And one of the things that he does is he sprays just a spritz of a creosote mist over the top of it. And you know exactly where on the planet you are.
Nice.
What I like most about working at the bar at the AC is that we get guests from all over that are maybe it's their first time in Tucson, maybe they're here in business and they have no intention of exploring Tucson or learning anything about us. And so through the bar, being able to use those ingredients and just showcase a little bit. My personal favorite that means home to me is creosote, that smell of rain when you come home in the summer.
It sounds and, like it smells like monsoons, right? It's July.
Exactly. We take, what is it? It's the creosote spray from Sonoran Rosie. And we kind of dilute that down with a little bit of water. So that way you can put it as an aroma over the drink. Spray a little bit of it on top, and it just makes this beautiful rain smell on top of this beautiful cocktail. And people are taken aback by it. They've never smelled that before because they're not from here. They're from like the East Coast, the West Coast, or where it's really woodsy and piney. And they're like, what is that? And I'm like, that is how the entire city will smell when it rains.
it's so true. The first time I came here was August in Tucson, and of course I wanted to leave right away, but then I smelt that beautiful smell that happens right before it's about to rain, and man, that changed everything for me.
Now there's some things I can do, and I can ask a guy if he comes in and he visits with us to tell us about what's going on. But now that we've got Isabella here, one of the great things is we can ask how this moment in time where we're all in Tucson, Arizona together, feels about all these other things going on. And I love having you here because then we can say, like, so what are people saying about the AC? What are people saying about Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails? I mean, we had Giannis Wilder on before. What's being said about Elvira's? Talk about what the community is actually responding to when they come to these places and they taste these flavors and sniffs and dishes. What are people saying? Are they saying what we're hearing? What is the message that's coming out about Tucson?
That's another great question. You know, I think that's part of the exploration, you know, and the more information we give to people, they can soak that in. I think right now we're kind of in education mode, you know, like people are turning and using Yelp to find great local businesses, but at the same time, it's the voices of our makers and our chefs and our mixologists to really put that message out there and educate on how they're foraging and why those flavors are the way they are. Because for me, even as somebody that is from here and I know all these flavors, I actually used to forage myself as a child. We would get the little onions in Nogales on the side of the road and put lime and salt. And that's part of who we are, right? Growing up here. But it's there.
Those little acorns, those distinctive little acorns that taste like the
you
nutty.
You can make a mole out of those. Have you met Bill Steen?
Yes.
He.
The king.
He makes mole out of acorns, and it's
amazing. And it's such a distinctive flavor. If you could pick like five dishes to cook for somebody, they'd say, this is what we taste like. That's got to be one of those flavors.
Yeah, and he makes bacanora.
Ooh.
But that's like,
all right,
secret.
That's on the down low.
So, Ryan Hoffman, I just want to say before we let you go, because I know you've got guests coming, and I know it's a busy weekend heading up. It's Memorial Day weekend. What have you got on tap for your guests coming to the AC, and what do you want to tell people about to come down and express? Because we didn't even tell them the name of your drink that we're talking about with that. So I want to give you a chance to like just tell everybody what's happening at your bar.
So the cocktail is called the Rain Daisy. It's on special. So the name Margarita comes from Daisy in Spanish, and so I took it back to its origins, and since there's creosote on top, we just called it the Rain Daisy. Beautiful, flows off the tongue.
Rain Daisy, D-A-I-S-Y?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, beautiful.
And we've got this actually really awesome event coming up. We're doing a pool party in partnership with Playground on the 15th, and then our sales director, Janelle, is doing this awesome city market on the 8th, and we're actually going to kind of like go back to our Spanish heritage and roots, and we're going to have some drink specials, and with every drink special, just like in Spain. In Spain, you can just like sit there and drink wine and spritzers all day, and they'll just keep bringing food to you. We're going to do a little like tapas special. So every drink you get, you either get a meatball or like a selection of potatoes, and it's going to be really fun. So that's on June 8th, and look out for it.
And so, I love the pool parties.
Yes, the pool parties. What's the film at the pool party?
We're doing it in partnership with Bacardi, so we've got some pretty awesome cocktails. I, for one, have a love-hate relationship with blended drinks, but I can say there will be some blended drinks. And actually, I just got a text message. It is not the 15th. It is the 22nd.
It's the 22nd, and 20 it's Grease. It's Grease.
That's going to be our movie on the pool deck. Yeah, we're doing that's very family-friendly. We're doing Grease. Going to have some cocktail specials up there.
Sing-along
as well.
With Film Fest. Tucson, and it's sold out, peeps.
So, keep a lookout. Maybe we'll open up some new tickets. Who knows?
Maybe. Thank you so much for coming
in,
Ryan.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
So, do you know who? I know people probably in the audience. are wondering who are all these people and what's going on, but this is just a typical Thursday here at Tucson Foodie. We are so happy to be here. This is Around the Table, the Tucson Foodie edition number 4, coming to you live from the City of Gastronomy. You hear the doorbell ring, you never know who's going to be stopping by. This is the thing that amazed me. When I read TucsonFoodie.com, I feel like, oh, they just know everybody. But literally, everybody just shows up here.
Well, we got two people that just showed up. The maestro of Mexico. Did I just say that out loud?
Yes.
Felipe Garcia from Visit Tucson. So excited to have him here. And my son just stepped off the plane from 2 weeks. My 14-year-old son spent 2 weeks in Israel. And the first place that he asked to go to when he got here was...
Tito and Pep.
Yeah.
Yep. He got off the plane and he said, I want lunch at Tito and Pep. So he went out to John Martinez. What did you eat?
I got the burger and the steak skewers and the chilled and charred
broccoli salad,
asparagus and the steak salad.
Well, the menu.
Yeah, he's 14, y'all. I got a 14-year-old. He's got an endless pet.
Foodie.
So what was your favorite thing?
Probably the burger.
Right on. And what did you eat? One thing in Israel that you loved?
Ooh, the falafel.
Ooh.
Right on, right on.
You raised him right, Mama. You raised him right.
I raised him right, and he brought us back a big bag of Israel snacks, which I'm excited to get into.
So, listen. One of the things that we've been looking forward to all day in this discussion about how the world is focusing its attention on, well-deserved attention on Tucson, we get to talk to the man who has been getting us ready. He's been helping us sharpen our pencils. He's been out helping us discover these stories for ourselves and these flavors. He's invited the people to say, look what we have here. He's gone tirelessly on the road to tell our story to people and get them to come here. His name is Felipe Garcia from Vamos a Tucson. We had the honor of traveling down to Sonora, Mexico and Hermosillo with him not long ago, about a month ago, for Festival del Chef. And when we went there, he truly represented what it is to be a region. And he represented what we share here. And I have never seen someone more proudly represent this beautiful, delicious community. I was honored to be there with him. I'm honored to have him back here with us on our show today. And we say bienvenidos.
Muchas gracias, bienvenidos. I feel amazing now. Thank you.
you're doing amazing things.
You know something? I'm very lucky to be in a place that is just phenomenal and that we have the opportunity to go around the world and tell people what we already know, how great and unique Tucson is. And it feels amazing.
Let's talk about the fact that in the last month, literally, this is like having three Olympics here in a culinary sense. We had the Agave Heritage Festival, 11 days focusing on not only the spirit, but the culture and the heritage and the history of all the spirits made from the agave plant. We also had the Delice Network. I want to give you the chance to tell everybody about these big events because they're truly global in their scope and scale.
So you mentioned Agave Heritage Festival, and this event started 11 years ago with, it was a tequila fest. It was a party to get together and drink tequila. And Todd Hanley, his team, had the vision and passion eventually to say, this is more than just a party to drink and get buzzed. It's about really looking into the impact that this drink has. So that's what it turned into Agave Heritage Festival. This year, it was amazing that they were able to pair it with another amazing event that was the Delice Network having their meeting here in our community. And to me, when everyone left town, we had people from 16 different cities here in Tucson, to me it was, okay, we're it. Tucson, we deserve to be known and we deserve to be at the table with the big names around the world.
It's so ironic that we use the phrase that we have a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. This show is called Around the Table. There's something about the idea that no matter where you are in the world, there's something understood about how we become united around a table, united by food, united by culture. This was on full display during the week of the Delice Network events. I just want to make sure people understand exactly how broadly impactful this is and who this Delice Network of people actually are. If you haven't been to Delice Network's website, mm-hmm. and to see the many cities that are part of this incredible network, they're all places that should immediately go on your culinary bucket list.
Absolutely. So the Delice Network, it's a group, and we're going to get close to the table here. It's a group of cities of around the world that use gastronomy as a tool for development, economic development, bring visitation, hold local businesses. And we were brought to the attention of this group about a year ago. And someone came to Tucson and said, hey, have you heard of the Delice Network? And I said, well, I've heard here and there, but I don't know too much about it. I started digging information, and someone said, you should apply. Tucson should be in that network. And I look at the list of cities, and you had Barcelona, Madrid, Brussels, Belgium, Lyon, France, Kobe in Japan, Hong Kong.
Norway.
Puebla, Mexico.
Puebla, Mexico, Merida, Stavanger in Norway. So there were amazing, Chicago and Montreal in North America, there were amazing cities. And to me, it was like, okay, are we part of that group? Can we fit in that group? And I started doing some research, and I was lucky enough that I got a lot of information from the Delice Network themselves before we applied. And to be honest, I was fascinated because I knew that they were looking to San Francisco and New Orleans as other cities in the U.S. So I called the offices, the central offices in Lyon, France, and I had a conversation with them. And they said, you know, something, Tucson looks very interesting. Send your application. We did. And talk to the people in Chicago, other cities, not to lobby, but get more information. And then in October of last year, we got the news. Mm-hmm. Tucson's part of this great network, phenomenal for to us. Again, very proud of it. And then they called a few weeks later, literally, and said, "Hey, there were some challenges for our meeting that is going to happen in Puebla, Mexico. They have to redo their elections and they cannot do events. So anyway, they say, would you guys be interested in hosting the meeting? Because otherwise, it'll take like 4 years because all the meetings been already assigned." I said, let's do it. So we brought them here. We hosted these individuals here. And again, we had the CEOs of tourism boards from Madrid, from Barcelona, from Lyon, France. Again, as I mentioned a few seconds ago, minutes, I was blown away when people the last day, they were saying, you guys are amazing. Tucson's amazing. So the president of Lyon, the Office of Tourism, Francois, said, hey, Francois, how was your experience? I mean, you hold the World Championship of Chefs. And he says, Tucson should be proud. You guys are doing great work. I want to stay here. I want to stay for another week here in Tucson. So that's why I feel so amazing with what has happened here.
The people that arrived here from around the world, from the Delice Network, were the representatives of the sort of, not just the convention and visitors, but they really have a food orientation because they understand that one of the key components of travel and tourism today is the food piece. Because to truly get to know a culture and a community that you visit, you have to get in and taste it.
Every single city has a huge effort related to food. Olivier Maret, he's the president right now of the Delice Network. He's based out of Brussels, Belgium, and he works for a tourism board in Brussels, Belgium. But his title is vice president of gastronomy. And actually, before he was lifestyle and gastronomy, I want to have that title. He was the vice president of lifestyle and gastronomy for Brussels, Belgium. So you're right. All these cities, they use gastronomy, and they understand that gastronomy not only attracts people to eat, but it's a way to showcase your community and your culture and your people and your history. It connects that visitor to something that is very real, real and unique.
We spent time together in one of the seminars, which was the seminar about having a superstar food, that you have to have something that is authentic, essential, original, and is the thing that when you leave from a trip to that place, people will say, did you have that thing? And you have to say yes.
Yeah, that's correct. Sonoran sushi. No, I'm kidding.
No.
Okay, I got to step in here.
It was a joke, okay. And people are still laughing about it.
No, it's great. So one of the great things that Felipe and Visit Tucson does for our community is they help create us into a team to go out and walk the walk and talk the talk and spread evangelically the word of Tucson. And so what they did is they helped us, Tucson Foodie, embed into the Delice Network. And that was during the Agave Heritage Week. And we have Janine here from Maynard's and Hotel Congress to talk a bit about that. But one of the things that Felipe did was he helped us become, for that week, part of Delice Network.
And before we segue away from the Delice Network and all the things that happened that week, the takeaway, I think, yes. And you didn't ask me this, and it's my show, so I should be asking you, but I'm going to switch it around for a second. The thing that I took away, because I got the chance to talk to people. They came up to me. We talked. We talked personally. Mm-hmm. And to a person, to a person, everyone said it wasn't just the food. It was the people. It was the human connection that made Tucson different than any other place we go for these meetings. They got it.
You got it. That's exactly it. I mean, we talk about food, we talk about many things, but what connects everything, it's people, it's individuals. And I've heard exactly the same thing. Many of them, they say, we've been to other cities and they're great and the programs are amazing. But the connection that we felt in Tucson, that it was not only from ourselves, the locals. It was not just the Tucson foodie team and Jennifer being there, the two gents being there ourselves. They say it was all the community that it allowed for everyone from Riga in Latvia to Kobe in Japan to feel welcome and feel celebratory and feel... I love to see our partner from Kobe, Japan, as you know, very formal culture. And when arriving, of course, you bow down and they don't shake hands or anything like that. And 2 days later, he's giving high fives, he's hugging people. And when he left, he gave me a hug. And I'm like, wow, that's... In the Japanese culture, it might be something shocking or strange. But we made people felt
welcome,
appreciated. So
and
that was amazing.
Connected. I think that's one of the things about food that excites us all. It's about connection.
Does Tucson Foodie in your editorial mission talk about the fact that it's not just about the items on the plate or the food that was grown at the farm or how it got there? Do you guys really feel that that's just one of the pieces that keeps cultivating and growing and blossoming in the work that you're doing? Because I see it in the work you do.
We are part of what is connecting Tucson. And one of the things that's very important to Tucson is our culinary heritage, our food heritage, as well as our food future. And it is about taking it out into the world. And that's part of what we're evangelically Tucson Foodie.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's talk about what's going on at the east end of town, because when they were here hosting the Agave Heritage Festival, Todd and the entire family.
Todd, I was going to call him Todd Sadow, but that's epic. Rides. Todd Hanley and Delice Shepherd, the vibrant leaders of the Agave Heritage Festival. And now they've got a second champion out in the world. Brian Smith from Maynard's, the chef from Maynard's, is in China right now.
Competing.
He is the only chef from the United States of America in China competing on a global level, which is amazing. So I really want to welcome her and thank her for coming to talk about those two things.
Hi.
How did this come about? How did China come to find out about Hotel Congress?
I think it just Maynard's. came from Maynard's. I think it just came from Brian going to Parma and to Belém, it's Italy and Brazil, to represent Tucson as a city of gastronomy. Those were UNESCO endorsed events, and he's just kind of getting his name out there and Tucson's name out there, and so we're really excited to have him in China representing the U.S. and bringing some Sonoran heritage foods to Yantai.
Amazing. So do you know what he's cooking out there?
I have it written down.
Okay, so
are we allowed to say? Because we don't want. What if they're listening in?
It's
what if
true.
They? I mean, this is the East, you know.
Yeah, I think we called him earlier, and he was definitely asleep. So
he was okay. All right, tell us.
He's doing great. Okay, so one thing he's particularly excited to do is like a fine dining take on pork and beans. So he'll be using tepary beans, which are heritage to the Sonoran Desert, and let's
some
see
sort
what
of pork,
else.
I'm assuming.
I mean, definitely some sort of pork. I think probably regular pork, which is really exciting because that was sort of the winning thing for him in the Tucson Iron Chef competition. It was his pork belly that won him that title.
And he's going to be going up against either Wendy Gauthier from Chef Chic, because Iron Chef is coming up. Wendy Gauthier. We also have Mary Steiger from Gourmet Girls. And then the third one, oh, he's from, I think, a Hilton hotel. I'm so embarrassed. I forgot his name. But Iron Chef is happening down at Casino del Sol right now. So, so also one of the things, and we're very lucky to have all the folks at Hotel Congress and Maynard's. They really support. The Osoran family has done an amazing job supporting for decades Tucson. And their work with Visit Tucson with Felipe regarding the Agave Heritage Festival, I mean, that is something on, again, the national level.
So let's give him a chance. You guys from the East End, all around town, what's happening this summer? Let's remind everybody why, if you're going to be here this summer, why that's actually a really good thing. You should be lucky. You should consider yourself lucky that you're here this summer.
The other side of summer, there's going to be a lot of activities here during the summer. We want to let people know in Tucson, either do a staycation, enjoy, discover Tucson. I mean, it's amazing how many things people don't know about our community. You're listening to your radio show. I mean, I was driving here and I'm like, oh gosh, I have to, all these things that I have to steal to discover in our community. Take that opportunity. Make yourself a commitment this year. But second, invite friends and family to come here. Our restaurants are going to do amazing specials, promotions. You can come and really eat food. I was listening. Elvira's is having a great Tuesday to Thursday dinner special. I know Maynard's and Hotel Congress are very active in the summer. So come on over and again invite your friends and discover what we have that is an amazing destination. So we hope that that will happen very soon.
Well, also our restaurants, all of our restaurants during that time, make sure us locals, us lucky locals, get to eat at a little bit of a discount all summer long so I can take my kid Bodie, he got off the plane. He said, I want to go see John Martinez at Tito and Pep's. You know, I get to take him to any restaurant I want to. I can still get a seat and I can get a prefix menu for a pretty good price.
And when you mentioned price, that's something that we see a lot that is phenomenal. We get people come from the East Coast, they come from New York or Chicago, and they go to restaurants and our pricing, it's really affordable. I mean, people are in shock on this.
Well, it's not just the price, it's the price quality relationship.
Exactly. They're like, oh gosh, I'm having an amazing steak, a charro steak. Mm-hmm. And is that the price really? And they're surprised. And that's correct. It's the price of the value what you have here. So it's a great gastronomic destination, Tucson. Enjoy in the summer. Go out.
And we should say, this is all part of kicking off our program that we keep talking about, which is, and I know you disagree with me on one part of this, but it gets too hot to cook, it gets too hot to eat, but you still gotta eat. So let's go out. Let's go out together. Let's support the restaurants that really gonna support us all year. And remember that these are the restaurants.
It's never too hot to eat.
I know. You say that.
Well, it's just not.
But it's not. But you feel kind of like, oh, but it's hot. But it does get hot.
It does get
incredibly hot. It gets so hot, it's almost too hot to eat.
It changes what I eat.
But you know what we have to do? We have to go out and cultivate conviviality. We have to go out together. We have to go out and support the restaurants that support all of the things that we support all year long. Remember, all winter long, when every fundraiser we go to has a silent auction, and isn't there always a number of our restaurant friends and neighbors who have donated generously to not just this or that event, it's this and that event.
Absolutely.
They support everything. So this is the time when the summer slows down for them where
for
we have
to
step up and support them.
Yep. Absolutely. So we really encourage everyone to go out and enjoy. We have a campaign called The Other Side of Summer at Visit Tucson, showing that other face. I mean, we always think to ourselves, oh, I'm going to get out of Tucson. It's not good to be here. It's amazing to be here. And Jen, you were saying you can go and eat amazing food at a discount all summer long. So, yeah, take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And we should do a whole show just on the happy hours of summer.
I tell you something? We're getting ready, actually, to drop a guide. This is a Tucson Foodie exclusive, guys. We're doing a guide on summer specials. We're doing a big roundup of summer specials, so you'll have one place to go. You can just check the list. Two nights a week. Take the family. Get something you might not be able to during the rest of the year when, you know, those other 7 months of the year.
All right, we have to take a very quick break. I know we're almost at the end of the show. We're going to take the quickest break we've ever taken. This is Around the Table, the Tucson Foodie Edition number 4, live from the City of Gastronomy. You are tuned in here on AM 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, live from Tucson Foodie headquarters downtown. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Around the Table, live from the City of Gastronomy, the Tucson Foodie Edition number 4, coming to you from the headquarters and test kitchens of Tucson Foodie in downtown Tucson, Arizona, on Pennington Street, right above Riley. Can't say enough good things about our food community. Thank goodness we have a partnership with people who have the most incredible words, because they go out and taste everything. They go everywhere. They know what's happening. Their finger is on the pulse of this beautiful food scene. Their fearless leader, Jennifer Teufel, is here hosting us. She is a great hostess, and she joins us once again on this Thursday edition of, here we go, Around the Table.
Around the Table with Tucson Foodie and the two Jens. We're so excited to be here. First of all, Tucson Foodie couldn't exist without a couple of things. First is Adam Lerman. I got to tell you, our head foodie man, he is rooted in Tucson. He loves food, and he created this because he was looking for a way to keep track of his exploration for great foods here in Tucson. So it all started there. And the second thing is Tucson Foodie couldn't be here if it wasn't for the great food, including the farmers and the makers here in Tucson. And we have two terrific evangelical folks for the Tucson.
Leaders in our community.
Yeah, leaders, absolutely.
Leading by example.
And they're foodies. And I got to tell you, Janine from Maynard's and Hotel Congress is such an amazing foodie herself and takes such beautiful pictures of that food. If you guys have seen some of her pictures, it will make you hungry. They look like you can scratch and sniff. And the lovely Felipe Garcia, again, the maestro of Mexico, he really brings us together as a team so that we all can go trumpet Tucson out in the world.
It's exciting again. We're talking during the break. The food, the people, I just love where I am. I get calls from other cities saying, hey, can you come and work for us? And I'm like, no, because what we have here in our community is so unique, and I don't feel that we're there yet. Yeah. I think that we're
still in ascendancy.
We are still, and there's so much things to do here in Tucson. And what is great is we don't have to create it from something that is fake. It's already here. We just need things like the UNESCO City of Gastronomy designation, like the Deli's Network membership, to validate something that we already know.
We've also gotten some news, and we're going to break some news. This is the big scoop right now. There is yet another chef from Tucson.
Mm-hmm. Heading out.
To Stavanger, Norway. So I'm going to wait till next episode just so I get the stamp off. But I'll give you a heads up. So what's happening is that Stavanger, Norway, they're organizing an amazing event, trying to see, okay, when you go to a convention, usually you eat chicken, beef, whatever, and you don't know where you are. The sense of place is not there in the dishes. So it's going to be a competition. There'll be forging involved. There'll be some other things for chefs that do banquets to prepare dishes for like 400 people. And they invited 8 of 26 cities of Deli's Network. So we went ahead. We went out. We got a chef from Tucson, we send it out. They told us he's in. Hopefully tonight I'll get a stamp that yes, he's confirmed.
And guys, that's one of eight, an international competition, and he got one out of 8 seats. That's amazing.
And we should say that this is not unusual, because we have the quality and caliber of culinary talent here that can stand toe-to-toe with anybody anywhere in the world. However, there is something about this magic moment. When a championship team wins the championship, and the year before they came close but didn't win, there's some kind of magic that happens. What's the magic that Tucson has right now that's causing all this to happen?
Again, it's the people, what's happening. So just to give you, we were talking the other day, we had a very interesting conversation that Tucson, when we're in these events and we're at the table and we're next to Madrid and we're next to Parma, Italy, people always are looking to, what would Tucson do? That's the great news.
What would Tucson do? Felipe Garcia, vamos a Tucson.
It's been so fun this week. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to miss you over the next week, my buddy.
I know. Listen, this is a delicious time to be together. We'll be here together again next week. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Fire up your grill. We apologize to Papa Mike's homemade jerky. We're going to talk about him next week, because that is delicious jerky. And go out. Cultivate conviviality.
People, it's not too hot to eat.
This is Around the Table, the Tucson Foodie Edition number 4, wrapping it up. Up next, the one and only John C. Scott. And when you get home tonight, do me a favor, please hug your kids and count your blessings.